Welcome all, but I will also let you know that the public comment period will be towards the end of the meeting, so you'll have to be patient as we go through our business. But there will be an opportunity for that. And when and if you choose to do that, as a courtesy, we ask participants to mute their mics or phone when not speaking to reduce the background noise. And please remember to unmute your microphone when you're speaking. Also, for board members, to help us capture information correctly, please state your name when making comments. Thank you. So, Sydney, at this time, will you please call roll and board members please respond if in attendance?
Absolutely. Chair Roberts?
I am here.
Vice Chair Lloyd?
Present.
Board Member Harm?
Present.
And Board Member Wu?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Sydney. So we have all received in our packets the agenda for the meeting today. So I do need a motion and a vote to approve the agenda.
Board Member Harm would like to make a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting.
Thank you, Scott. Do I have a second?
Paul Wu, second.
Thank you, Paul. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes, so we'll follow the agenda as published in your packets. And next, we'll need an approval of the minutes that were also included in your packet from the April 25th, 2024 board member. And I will need a motion to approve those minutes.
Board Member Loin, I motion to approve the minutes.
Any second?
Board Member Harm will second that.
And I forgot to ask for discussion on the last motion. Any discussion here on the minutes?
Chair, if I could just bend our ear for a moment. I noticed, I was reminded by in reviewing the minutes. Sydney, there's a meeting called for, I've got the page up on January 23rd. I can already tell this group that I can't make that date because I have a NCARB Board of Directors meeting out of state that day.
Okay. We can look at that when we get to that part.
Hopefully we have new members by then. We can still
Hopefully.
have. Okay,
Yeah, we're compromised on our quorum these days. So, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to call. Is there any more discussion on the minutes? Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes from the April 25th, 2024 meeting, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes have been approved. Typically we are sharing the agenda. I'm not seeing anything, or we're sharing the documents. Sydney, I'm not seeing anything shared on the screen right now. There's usually a presentation.
I
Maybe
didn't
I'm
see
missing
it
it.
shared. I
No,
didn't
I'm
see
seeing
it
it. Yeah,
as number five right now. That's
I'm
my
seeing it.
fault. I've got some settings in Teams that aren't
Close a
making
couple
it.
windows.
Yeah, no, it's like a participant on my Teams
Oh no.
thing. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
I can change this.
Made me panic for a second.
Focus on content. Okay, great. I can't see any of you, but now I can see the content. Okay. So moving on to five, old business. So board members and staff will provide an update on outreach activity. So I'm going to open this up for discussion. I have a quick update, but is there anybody else who has some update on this item first?
I'm sure mine will be in addition to what Chair Roberts is going to say, so I will hold mine until the end.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of items that I had to update on. One is that we did receive, and this might be what Sydney's going to talk about, we did receive some information from NCARB that they are going to be visiting the University of Washington actually on Monday at noon. And I have said that I can be there as well. I unfortunately, we're not going to have anybody there from the Department of Licensing, from what I know. But at least I will be in attendance. Is that what you were going to mention, Sydney?
I was going to mention that as well as the town hall that we participated in last week.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah, we also participated in a town hall with NCARB on alternative paths to licensure and with, sorry, with NCARB and with AIA Washington Council, who actually organized the event and were able to speak to the it was a webinar, so we were able to get sort of comments from the audience to discuss sort of alternative paths. There were a lot of very unique and interesting situations that people find themselves in. And I personally was really impressed with the licensing advisors that we have here in the state that are available to help people in interesting and unique situations understand what the best pathway through our process to get licensed is. So I think all in all, it was good to kind of get out there and help people understand that there are pathways and what resources are available to them, both through the state and through NCARB and the licensing advisors, to be able to understand how to get where they want to be in terms of licensure. Anything to add, Sydney?
Just to kind of echo what Chair Roberts just said, it was a really well-attended event with a lot of really great questions. It did focus on alternative pathways to licensure. And I had myself and members of our team kind of digging in and seeing just how many applicants we have who are pursuing alternative pathways. And that really is becoming a very popular means of licensure in the state of Washington. And I think that's a shift that we're kind of starting to see across a number of our licensing bases. But because of the proactivity of the board and of NCARB and AIA to kind of champion those alternative pathways, I think we're really seeing the benefit of that now that especially coming out of COVID and the educational landscape changing even more so coming out of that, that a number of applicants are really starting to take advantage of that opportunity. And it's creating a lot of really good discussion and helping us see kind of how that's moving through and the benefits of it that those folks are making it all the way to licensure in Washington State. It was really, really incredible to see the community support that the architecture community provides to those applicants and the structure between NCARB and AIA and the partnership to really help anybody across any pathway pursuing licensure, how the support system and the structure is there to help them get to that ultimate goal and how effective that is. And it's something I'm really, really hoping to take to several of our other programs and, you know, kind of use this as the model that, hey, this can be done and here's how. So
it was great really, to hear. Really great. Scott, you have your hand up. Sorry.
Yeah, let me lower my hand so I don't forget to do it. two questions. Is there a recording of that? I can't remember how you refer. Was there a recording? Because I sure would like to listen in, and my role is NCARB. And then also, I think the chair mentioned the really good licensing advisors that are available. Are the licensing advisors from the state or from the university or from the AIA, or who are those people?
They're from the state, and okay. They are, I believe they are NCARB appointees. I could be wrong about that.
AIA.
AIA.
I think Tammy's on the call, so she could correct us if we're wrong. But I believe they are part of AIA.
Oh,
great.
I'm not sure. Can we allow Tammy to speak now? Is that like an okay thing?
As long as the board is okay with it, yeah.
Okay, Tammy, would you like to clarify, please? You have your hand up, I see.
Sure. Yes, thank you. The NCARB advisors are selected by Washington Council. Erica was one for many, many years, and we appreciated her work on that. And then we submit those names to be officially approved. Neha Goel is one of them. The other is Tyler Gates. And if you're interested in learning a little bit more about that or reading their bios, you'll find them on our website. What was the other one? The recording. Yes, we do have a recording and it is up live on YouTube. Anybody that would like to watch that can go on to the AI Washington Council YouTube channel and find it.
Thank you, Tammy. Yeah.
Thank you, Tammy. Yeah. Thank you again for organizing that.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you for your participation. It was great.
And then, yes, as Chair Roberts indicated, NCARB will be visiting University of Washington next week in Seattle. Unfortunately, I'm kind of the only staff member currently in a position to be able to go up and assist, and I just do not have the availability next week. I tried moving things around in my schedule to make that happen, and I just couldn't carve out that half day to be up in Seattle, unfortunately. But Chair Roberts is going to be in attendance. And if another board member also had availability and wanted to attend, I'm sure that would be greatly appreciated as well. And then NCARB is sending someone out to facilitate that discussion as well.
So before I take volunteers for that, I want to mention one other, or I ask if there's interested in that. I want to mention one other outreach activity that I did reach out to the Lake Washington Institute of Technology, because they are one of the community colleges, or I don't know if they're technically an institute of technology in the state of Washington, that offer an architectural technology degree. They also have a 2+2 agreement with WSU. So their graduates can kind of go to WSU, finish up their bachelor degree, and then probably, I'm guessing, move into the NAB accredited master's degree should they choose to. So we visited them, Scott, you may remember a long time ago, and I reached out to a guy named Bob Mandy, who's the same person who coordinated our visit last time. He seems very interested. Obviously this would be different than our last visit because we went as a board, as part of one of our regular meetings. This time, I think we would have to do it as two individual board members so that we don't get into, having a public meeting, making that into a formal public meeting. So I'd like to respond to Bob and offer up two of our board members to be able to go and meet with the students there. And then also, if anybody is interested in coming to the University of Washington with me on Monday, be happy to have another participant there as well. So I'm not going to hog all the outreach opportunities. Other board members are interested. I'd like to hear about it and put you on the list.
This is board member Erica. What time is it again?
The University of Washington one? It's at noon.
I would like to join you, but I have a presentation I need to give at noon in our office.
Hey, would you be interested in the Lake Washington Institute of Technology meeting with those students?
There is no time yet.
I've just reached out, so I was going to respond to him with copying a couple of you. Or actually, can I not do that? I probably can't do that. Anyway, we'll figure out a way to get you connected with Bob for a meeting.
I'd like to, if there's room, Chair, for me to join the Lake Washington one, I would also be interested, or at least be made aware of when that meeting is. I would love to join you on Monday, but just like my fellow board member, I'm like already triple booked for that time for Monday.
Likewise here, board member Wu, I would like to join the Lake Washington event. Since it's close to where I live and I would like to participate. I'm traveling next week, so I couldn't attend the other one. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe what I could do to avoid the email quorum issue is pass this on to Erica to coordinate a time and then maybe offer up to Scott and Paul if they're available, find out who else could make that.
And staff is happy to coordinate as well if you would like.
And I'll throw out there too, if we run into a quorum issue, you just go ahead and remove me from the invite list if it helps. I just didn't have Paul there. There's going to be, we're again run into a quorum. So I'm if there's space available, sign me up. If it isn't, I won't whine, kind of a thing.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Sounds good. All right. I'll take it from here one way or the other. I'll probably excuse myself from the conversation and get that all set up so that we can get in touch with them as well. I think that would be great to reach out to this program. I think they've got a great program. I remember it from last time, and they're really able to outreach to a really broad audience here in Western Washington. So it's a good program, and I'm happy that we can support it. Any other items on outreach that anybody wants to bring up? Hearing none, let's move on to item 5.2, which is discussion of demographic trends. And I'm going to pass this on to Sydney to lead the discussion on this.
Going to be much easier to find for multiple states across the country, and it turns out it was not. So this is an item that was requested during the July board meeting, looking at the age demographic trends. As the board is aware, about half of our licensee base is over the age of 55, and so we kind of consider that to be at or approaching retirement age, and that's when we really start to anticipate that those numbers will start to drop. And so the board had requested that we look at some age demographics across the country to see if this is a uniquely Washington situation or if this is something that's starting to happen across the industry and across the country. I thought that this information was going to be really, really easy to find and to access, and it turns out it was not. So I'm going to request that we can move this to the January agenda. I have reached out to NCARB, and they are seeing what data they are able to find for their purposes. Any age demographic information that they have is completely voluntary, so it won't be a full, complete picture, but they're looking to see what they're able to put together. And I spent several hours trying to see who of our neighboring jurisdictions are also tracking this information, and I couldn't find anybody. So I looked through about a third of the NCARB jurisdictions and could not find a single jurisdiction that was tracking this. So it could be, I did not look through the majority. It could be that it's being tracked by jurisdictions that I didn't look at, but it was definitely not tracked by any of the Western jurisdictions. So definitely gives me something to dig a little bit deeper on, and I will bring back more information in January.
Great. Thank you, Sydney. And as a reminder to everybody, I think this was a discussion topic we had about, declining numbers of licensees in our state and what that might mean. And for us going forward, and if we're looking at total number of licensees, are we missing some trends by not looking more carefully at the age-related data? Okay, anybody else have any discussion points on this particular item? All right, let's move on to new business. And I think this is maybe what Scott was getting at earlier, adoption of the 2025 meeting dates.
Yeah.
It is. So we will be looking at our 2025 meeting calendar, and it already sounds like maybe we need to look at adjusting the January date. And if that's the case, that's fine. We can look at what that will look like. But this is what staff has proposed, mirroring what we've had for the last 2 years. So Thursday, January 23rd, Thursday, April 24th, Thursday, July 31st, which is slightly later, but that's accommodating some holidays falling on different days of the week this year, and then October 23rd. So if we do need to look at moving the 23rd, we can certainly do that. This will tie in a little bit to an update that I'm going to give in announcements with our board appointments, but I'm anticipating we might still have the issue of being very close to our minimum for a quorum in January. So I think if Scott is unable to attend January 23rd, it would probably be good to go ahead and look at adjusting that date. So we can either adjust to earlier within the same week. We do have a holiday on the 20th of January, so that does make it a little bit tighter. Or we can look at moving it back a week to sometime the week of the 27th. So what are the board's thoughts?
This is Board Member Loyne. I just opened up my calendar and realized I do have jury duty on the 23rd as well, 22nd and 23rd. So doing my civic duty, I will likely not be able to attend, so the quorum would be broken. And should I get on a case, it would last through the 30th, potentially. Okay. But, and I am not available on the 16th. If that was another option. But so, I think the 30th would be the, I don't think a case would go until through the 30th, I would hope.
So we can look at the 30th. The other option, it is very close to New Year's, but we could look at moving up to January 9th, if that was available for all of you.
Yeah, very good point on near New Year's, because there's so many. I don't know that any of the board members take off that whole week between Christmas and New Year's. You know, it's usually a low count of attendance. So, again, if we have new board members, that may or may not be an issue. But I could make the 30th work right now. It's wide open. Just as a matter of...
I can make the 30th work as well, if that seems to be a preferred date. Paul, is the 30th work for you?
I'm available.
Okay. So why don't we go ahead and schedule that for January 30th? And then, Erica, if something happens that you do end up on a case, if you want to just let me know as soon as you know, then we can make adjustments from there. And we'll just see what we can do from that point. So, all right. So then with that, instead of January 23rd, we would be looking for adoption of January 30th, April 24th, July 31st, and October
23rd. Okay, hold on a sec. I believe the regional and NCAR, well, we don't have to worry about those yet. So I guess we are looking for a motion to approve the 2025 calendar date meetings for the Architect Board with the modification of the January 23rd meeting to January 30th. So looking for a motion.
I move. Board
Member Lloyd, I move to approve.
I second that motion. Paul Wu, Board Member Wu. Yeah.
Any further discussion on these dates? All those in favor of adopting the dates, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. We have a schedule for 2025. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to item 6.2, which is discussion of 2025 board goals and priorities. And I think Sydney's going to lead the discussion on this.
I am. Give me just 1 second to pull up the right presentation. Because if I had them up all at once, my computer would freak out. So bear with me. All right, so this is just revisiting the board's established goals and priorities that were set in 2024 and reaffirming or making any adjustments for 2025. I don't anticipate this being a very lengthy discussion, as the board has had very lengthy discussions on these topics previously. So it's just reaffirming and seeing if there are any adjustments that are needed heading into 2025. So the previously established priorities for the board are to establish a calendar for regular items to be reviewed. This has been done in the background on staff. We're just working on getting it into a usable format to share with board members. Reviewing our authorizations regularly. And now that it's been about 2 years since the authorizations were put in place, that's something we'll look at putting together for 2025. Looking at when annual planning should occur. Currently, it's the last meeting of the year. If this does not work, then we can adjust to whenever the board would like. But this tends to be kind of the lighter agenda for this board. Each of our boards kind of has one that, just depending on how things fall for their program, that ends up being the lighter one, and the last one of the year is generally yours. looking at the impact of diversity for licensure and how the board criteria matches education, prioritizing outreach, discussing the benefits of licensure to an open candidate pool, increasing diversity of candidates for licensure and on the board, working with partner organizations, AIA Education and CARB, differing subfields within architecture, and then student outreach, and then finally demystifying licensure. So the goals that the board set in 2024 toward those priorities were to develop an annual organizational plan and calendar for board operations. Again, this has been done in the background. We're just getting it into a usable format for all of you so that we can share it out. And we will include any contact information for our industry partners. Attending a WABO event in October. Unfortunately, we were not able to participate in that this year, and would probably want to look at changing that to seeing how we can better support the relationship with WABO. We had a very strong relationship with them, and I'm not certain if something's going on the WABO side or if maybe several members of the board have changed, but a lot of that contact just really suddenly fell off during this past calendar year. So we're looking to reestablish that and kind of see what's been going on there. Board diversity and recruitment, focusing on Eastern Washington and recruiting through partner organizations. I can tell you that was absolutely a part of the process for this most recent recruitment that we are still waiting on appointments for. But we did have applicants from Eastern Washington, and so we were very, very excited for that. So hopefully we do get some representation from that side of the state. And then participating in student outreach events, which we've already been covering, that is ongoing. So with that, I would love to hear from the board on what you guys are looking for. And I see Scott already has his hand up.
Yeah, sorry about that. Let me lower it. So don't forget to lower it. I'm not waving at everybody. There we go. Sydney, if you need a champion for the WABO thing, please count me in on that. I think everybody on the board currently knows, especially Paul, because he was subjected to me participating in this, but I'm a real advocate for that relationship. So anything that I can be asked to do, including if it's legitimate, you know, representing the board by going by myself, if I have to on my own dime, whatever it takes, I really, really want to try to get back in, I'll say, the good graces with whatever. I appreciate what you said, but yeah, kind of disappointing. Yeah, I find that to be a very engaging and insightful event. So yeah, anyways, thanks. And do we need to explain for the audience what WABO is, do we think?
We can, yeah. That is the Washington Association of Building Officials, for anybody yep. who is not aware.
And we get very.
Thank you for catching that.
Yeah, we have very large representatives, like, you know, let's say City of Seattle, you know, is just a huge department. But then you get into Eastern Washington, and one person could be the plans examiner and on-site inspector and some other position. You know, they're filling all the things, so it's a really diverse group. And one set of concerns may not apply at all to another group's concern, so it really becomes pretty dynamic. Anyways, thanks.
Yes.
I would like, since it's a long, it's been a while since we saw this, probably a year is my guess, Sydney. I would like some clarity on what we meant by differing subfields within architecture in terms of outreach. Does anyone recall what we meant by that?
I'm wondering if maybe looking at commercial, residential, government, private, I think maybe looking at those different areas in terms of outreach that, and I'm going to try and ask the board for their memories as well, but yeah. That would be my thought.
I thought it was also like an exterior envelope consultant specialist kind of a thing. You know, we have accessibility consultants that we use. That's what my remembrance was. It was not exactly a tiered licensing, but just recognizing specializations is what I thought that was about, but I might be wrong.
That sounds
familiar. I'm just trying to understand what the outreach would be, because I'm trying to look at these priorities and see like what we've been, it feels like these are priorities not only we've discussed, but we've been planning on doing, or we have been doing these things. I'm just not sure what this means or what it looks like.
I want to say that might have been one that Rock offered up last year.
I don't remember the exact conversation. This is Board Member Loin. I don't remember the exact conversation, but I do feel like that was, and we could clarify it so that it is ongoing. I like your comment, Scott, of there are so many people who are practicing as licensed architects, but not doing the tradition, or maybe a more traditional role of what the descriptions are, of putting together a single project or a typology. Like those very specific specialities are growing and becoming more and more essential, and having them feel included in the process and the environment of their licensure, I think would be really great.
Okay. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. That sounds good. Thank you for the reminder and the clarification.
All right. So, and this can always be an ongoing discussion. I did include this piece in your board packet. So if anything occurs to you, we can always bring that back to the board at a future meeting. But this is just kind of our annual check-in to see where we're at and how we're doing on it. And if we need to add, subtract, adjust any of that. So if you guys see anything else that you'd like to see adjusted right now, we can go ahead and add that. Otherwise, we'll just be looking for a motion from the board just to kind of reaffirm that this is the direction you guys want to head for 2025.
I have one more question, which would be about the authorization, mm-hmm. authorizations review, and what we meant by that regularly, and whether we'd want to do that at some point in 2025.
So that was, as the board will remember, this was the document that was previously known as the delegations from the board authorizing the Department of Licensing to process applications, intake complaints, all of those administrative pieces that the department does behind the scenes on behalf of the board. So that's what those authorizations are for. And there were some changes when that was approved back in 2022. And the board had indicated wanting to do a fairly regular review of that just to make sure that we were staying up with everything the board was wanting from the department, and that the department was kind of meeting our end of the bargain, and that we were staying up to date with all of the requirements within that. And so that was where that had originally come from, is just making sure that we're taking a really regular review on that. I think there have been some occasions where those have been represented to the board for different reasons on a fairly regular basis, every like 3 to 4 years. And then there have been other stretches where one set would be in place for, you know, 8 to 10 years. And so it could be something that the board saw really regularly, or there were board members who had never seen them before. And it was kind of just making sure that we're keeping that communication piece open in regard to those authorizations, and making sure that that is fresh and that the board is well aware of what is contained within those and what it is that the department does on behalf of the board.
Yeah, I think I agree that I think when we saw them first, we were like, oh, yeah, OK, great. This is how this works. And now I see that it's written down somewhere and that it's an authorization that the board has given. So reviewing it regularly may not be reviewing it to as much to alter it as to educate the board on what delegations have been made and what are the responsibilities of the board versus the Department of Licensing. So I might recommend just seeing this now as one of our priorities, that when we are fortunate enough to have the appointments made for the new board members at some point during 2025. And I know that I'm not sure Board Member Lloyd has seen these either. It might be worthwhile to bring it to the board's attention just as a review, a little bit of review, so we understand a little bit better, again, what our responsibilities are and what we've delegated to the Department of Licensing.
We can absolutely do that. And I believe Vice Chair Lloyd was brand new when these were brought to the board and was probably still in the drinking from the fire hose phase of her time on the board. So
Board Member Lloyd agrees.
Okay, great. Well, we'll just, I think it'll be helpful to new board members as well. Okay, any other comments from the board on these? I'm assuming that what we're going to vote on now is changing that number to 2025, and this would continue to be our goals and priorities, or our priorities and our goals to meet those priorities. Do I have any more discussion points from the board on these priorities and goals?
This is Board Member Lloyd. One thing, based on our conversation about the connections we have with the NCARB licensure advisors, and when I was the licensure advisor before and then learned about the board more as I was getting closer to becoming part of the board, having a relationship with them in particular, I think, would be really good, and maybe being mentors to them of what the board can offer to them as resources, up like maybe a little bit more one-on-one, so we're having them be able to have a session with us, like maybe one of the board members could be a resource to them. They are great people and they take on a lot and they answer a lot of questions, and knowing how much we impact that process too would be really great. So maybe including a participate with outreach to the state AIA Washington Council licensure advisors.
That's a great idea. And they are really, they do a lot of work. I can
you
tell.
Get a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I had hundreds of questions.
Yep. Any other ideas? Okay, well, we're going to need a vote on adopting these goals and priorities. So I'll ask for a motion.
This is Board Member Harm. I'd like to make a motion to approve the FY 2025 goals and priorities as presented by the licensing staff.
Board Member Lloyd, I second the motion.
Any further discussion?
Just real quick, Sydney. I think we all know that I'm kind of real interested in getting representation from Eastern Washington. So once again, if there's something that I could be called upon to do, count on me. In years past, I've gone over there on my own dime and visited a number of offices. I think it would benefit the board if we did have some representation from Eastern Washington. So again, I'm ready and willing to burn calories on that side. If it helps in any way, shape, or form, I don't want to get in the way or anything like that. But other than that, cool.
Yep, we'll keep you posted as that recruitment continues to make its way through.
And again, for the the observers of this meeting who will be speaking later, background on this is all of the board members previously, we're down to the smallest board since I've been on, and I've been on the longest, but we're all on this side of the Cascades, and so we feel it a priority to get some people or persons from that side of the Cascades to participate in this board. And it's not that much of a burden since we do so much of this virtually. There's not a lot of needing to travel back to Olympia for meetings as there once was. So if someone on this meeting, and here's my plug, is interested and you're on the eastern side of the state, holy heck, raise your hand kind of a thing. Anyways, that's my soapbox.
Sydney, does it make sense, or is it later that you're going to give an update on where this is in the process?
I'll provide the update later.
Okay. Okay, let's go ahead and do a vote for this then. All those in favor of accepting the 2025 goals and priorities, please say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? Okay. Goals and priorities are adopted for 2025. Thank you, Sydney.
Thank you.
Okay, item 6.3, legislative update. And Sydney, sounds like you're going to lead the discussion on this item.
I'm going to start us off, and then we're actually going to have a couple of guest speakers joining us as well. So just wanted to provide a quick update now that we are in the final quarter of 2024 and gearing up for legislative session 2025. And the legislature is already really ramping up. I think we've already had a number of bills pre-filed, not tied to this board, but a number that are already pre-filed. This will be a longer session this year, so it is going to be a very active one. And as the board is aware, we do have one proposal from the department that will have an impact on the architect program, and that is the budgetary accounting designation within DOL to move the program under the 06L accounting designation. As a really quick reminder or update to the members of the public who are joining us, the 06L designation within the Department of Licensing is an internal accounting designation, but it allows us to put the program's account, which is still a standalone account, but it allows us to put it under an umbrella account designation that provides some essentially overdraft protection and some assistance if something were to happen that the program's fund balance suddenly gets very low. We have, you know, a really large expense that hits the program, something like that. It helps provide some of that overdraft protection, still allows some breathing room so we don't have to do, you know, emergency fee increases or anything like that. And so we are looking at that change with a number of our programs, and the architect program is one of them. The board did agree to proceed with being a part of that proposal over the summer. And so just providing an update that that is still moving forward. The bill has not dropped yet. It's still very much in the process with DOL, but that proposal is still moving forward. So are there any questions on that before I continue? Okay. So another one that was brought to our attention is that there is a group that is looking at pursuing licensure for interior designers within Washington State. And while not directly impacting architecture or the board, they have requested to come and do a brief presentation to the board just to give an update and provide some awareness on this proposal, because there is so much interconnectedness among the design professions. They are trying to share awareness and some additional understanding of what they are looking to propose this legislative session. And so I'm going to introduce, make sure I get everybody's names right. I'm happy to introduce Michael Transu, who is the government affairs and contract lobbyist for the International Interior Design Association, Northern Pacific Chapter. Megan Only, who is the VP of Washington Advocacy for the IIDA. And Matthew, oh my gosh, I apologize now if I butcher your name, but Barsich?
Barsich.
Thank you. And they're going to tell the board a little bit more about what the proposal is regarding interior designers.
Welcome.
Thank you all very much. I think Megan had a personal emergency, so I don't know if she's able to join us today, but I'm going to fill
here.
In for her. Oh, there you are.
I'm
Go
here.
Ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. Yes. And nice to meet you all. Thank you for having us. We would like to introduce ourselves. We are an organization of a united alliance of a bunch of different interior design organizations. So CIDQ is our testing body. ASID is the American Society of Interior Designers, Washington State chapter. And then the IIDA, Northern Pacific chapter, is all encompassed under the Consortium for Interior Design, Washington State. So we have a national organization that is now brought to our state. We're seeking commercial interior design regulation. So you can hit the next slide there, Sydney, please. So then looking at these at larger scale here as an introduction to us, and you can hit the next slide. This is a very brief presentation as well. So also to further introduce myself, I am an NCIDQ interior designer at Integris Architecture in Spokane, Washington, and Sydney represented myself. But Matt, do you want to elaborate a little bit on your role as well?
Yes, of course. Thank you. So I work with the Council for Interior Design Qualification, essentially the interior design counterpart to NCARB. Our members are regulatory boards from across the United States and Canada. We write and administer the NCIDQ exam, which is the prerequisite for registration or licensure in the vast majority of regulated jurisdictions in the United States and Canada, of which in the United States there are 30. I would be happy to talk a little bit more about the exam, but we have very brief time, and so hopefully that is a another presentation. But we, like NCARB, require experience and education in order for folks to sit for our three-part exam, which tests on interior designers' knowledge and competency to protect the public in their practice. And again, when we're talking about interior design, we're not talking about interior decoration. We're talking about the design and planning of interior non-structural, non-seismic construction and alteration plans within building code, life safety codes, energy codes, and proper guidelines for obtaining a building permit. And so we are bringing this presentation to you today because, yes, we, the professional societies in the state of Washington, are interested in pursuing reasonable regulation of the interior design profession. And for your edification, the majority of our members are joint multidisciplinary boards. We have about 28, 29, I believe, member boards. The majority of them oversee both architecture and interior design. And so why are we bringing this presentation to you? Because throughout the course of legislative discussions, there have been some situations where interior design gets incorporated under a singular board or under the architect's board. And so we are bringing this to you so that you can be informed and involved as a stakeholder in the process. We will be communicating with other stakeholders as well, including the AIA chapter in Washington, if that has not happened already. But we also, as CIDQ, works very closely with ICOR, the Interorganizational Council on Regulation, which includes NCARB, includes National Council of Engineering and Surveyors, and as well as the Council of Landscape Architectural Registration Boards. You may have heard a little bit about ICOR at the recent NCARB annual meeting and our efforts to define practice overlap through the Practice Overlap Task Force. That our effort is ongoing, and we hope to have that as a resource to you shortly. But I don't know if there's anything on the next slide.
Yes, there is. Sorry, okay. I didn't want to interrupt you, but this was our agenda. Matt kind of went through that. So yeah. I think also to circle back a little bit on the occupational regulation, this would be for registered commercial interior designers. This would be the code-regulated public spaces that we all work in. Interior designers have a health, safety, and welfare impact on the built environment in these locations. So really, we're just seeking to codify through law our qualification through our exam, our education, and our experiential hours to be in our legislation here in 2025 when we have our bill introduced. So I think another piece to what Matt was alluding to was ICOR, but a really pivotal moment in our legislation journey throughout our country is in 2021, NCIDQ and NCARB have compared our exams, and we've found significant overlap of 80% of definite similarity. So just knowing that NCARB has participated in this and released a national stance that they support interior design legislation at a national scale. So we are in conversations with AIA Washington Council. We're meeting with them in the next month, just to give you guys an update on our outreach thus far. I think the next slide too, just to not take too much of your guys' time today because it's a lot of information, but Matt has included these contacts at other states that have had recent licensure passing with interior designers joining architectural boards. And so they're very receptive and have a wealth of knowledge on what this looks like within their state structure. So we just wanted to make sure you had these contacts if you so wanted to reach out to them as well. And then next slide is our last slide. Questions and discussion. Not sure if we have time for that today, but I'm sure everyone has them. So I suggest taking those QR codes and visiting them. We have our Northern Pacific chapter that has lots of resources and my email there as well. And our CIDQ, we have lots of video resources on exactly what we're trying to achieve here. So thank you all.
Yeah, and this is Michael Transu, and I'll just kind of try to button all this up. We know it's a lot of information. You've got our PowerPoint slides that we just presented to you, and then you also have a document that's been put together by the consortium of folks down below entitled The Importance of Reasonable Regulation of Interior Design. And hopefully that gives you a nice high level of kind of where this is going. From a policy standpoint, we have a lot more information, but we did, you know, in my conversations with Sydney, we did want to, you know, get into this meeting in October, because you don't have a meeting that's before the legislative session starts. So we definitely wanted to, you know, get this before you, get you thinking about this. Know there's going to be much more to come, and happy to work with you and Sydney on the details of how this legislation is going to work in Washington State. And lastly, I'll mention we are waiting for the national folks to work on and get us their last little draft of some model legislation that's going to be used around. So that's kind of what we're going to base the Washington State legislation on, and that'll come here after that decision is made in early November. So just kind of wanted to kind of button all that up, and we're happy to work with you, happy to come to more meetings to peel back the onion a little bit if that's needed, and answer any more questions. So I'll stop there, and thank you very much for having us and on such shortness. And Sydney, thank you for all your help in putting this together. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, of course. And so we do have time for questions from the board. We did anticipate there would be a number of questions from the board. The documents that Mr. Transu mentioned were received this morning, so those will be shared out to the board as soon as this meeting is done for you guys to take a look at as well. I do fully anticipate this will be an ongoing discussion and that you guys will have more questions before the end of the calendar year. So I guess we could start with questions from the board on kind of what you've already heard today, and then we can discuss how you guys want to track this moving forward. So I'll stop there.
This is Board Member Erica. I appreciate your presentation and getting this conversation started. I have lots of colleagues that are passionate about this as well. Would this, this may be a question for Sydney, would this be anticipated to be joining our board, or would there be another Washington State regulating board that manages interior design on its own?
So I think that is actually a question that I am going to defer to the three folks who are doing the presentation, just because this was not a question that we were able to answer previously. So that would be one of mine as well.
So this is Michael, and I think as a start, I think we lean into joining your board, which is a model that exists around in other states. In Washington, as you all know, all of the boards that DOL has under its purview must be self-sustaining and, you know, basically pay for themselves, if you will. So I think our initial thought is that to keep those, you know, kind of fiscal costs down, the idea would be, I think, at least at this juncture, to join the architecture board.
This is Board Member Wu. In my previous life, I taught for 10 years at Bellevue College at the interior design department. There was a movement at that time to get licensure for interior design. And I do agree there's a lot of overlap between what the interior designer do and architects do. So the difficult part is, where do you draw the line between the two practices? So I think that will remain a big question for all of us to address further, I believe. So
I can actually speak to that, Mr. Wu, if you don't mind. So language, so as Michael mentioned, we at our annual meeting coming up in the first week of November are going to be finalizing with our Assembly of Delegates an updated draft of model legislation. And within that model legislation includes a very defined definition of the practice of registered interior design, including what registered interior designers can do independently and what they cannot do independently. And what's notable about that language is that that was developed or helped shaped at the state level with several bills that have passed over the last few years in collaboration and coordination between interior design and architecture communities at those states. So we had over the last 3 years, North Carolina, Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin helped develop this scope of practice language and help, you know, get to a place where both parties were okay with that language and it became law, and we borrowed heavily from that for our model law. And so that combined with the upcoming practice overlap task force guidance from ICOR should help very much define the lines, define the boundaries, as you say.
I'm gonna. There's lots of hands up, so I'm gonna go to Richard, who has a number one next to his hand.
But so before Richard does it, I believe he is a member of the public, so I just want to caution one if we're going to have any public questions on this. One would need approval of the full board to do that, and two, then our public comment rules would apply, so it will need to be capped at 3 minutes. It can't really be a question and answer, and I know that is a struggle in our public meetings. I get that, but it's the structure that we have in place for open meeting laws. If the board is going to allow that.
I would suggest that we hold off for public comment until the end. Thank you. There's no decision action here for our board at this point. So I think just hearing comments at the end will be fine. Okay, I'm going to move on to Elizabeth then.
Okay, thank you. First, I just want to make sure that we have this discussion defined in our agenda that we're having right now. Are we good on that? Because all I can see is question and discussion, and I just want to make sure that this discussion is in the agenda.
Yes,
it is in the agenda. Okay. Yes, it is.
Thank you. I don't have the agenda up in front of me. So let's see. So I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions. One is there's a movement, sort of an anti-regulatory movement across the United States and in Washington State as well. I wonder if you've had any problems with that movement. I know the engineers and the accountant, National Engineers and Accountancy Boards have met up, you know, they have formed a group to address that issue.
So this is Michael. I'll take that just a little bit. We have not run into that sentiment yet. We are relatively, you know, early on in our advocacy process. So I appreciate you, you know, bringing that to our attention, and we'll make certain that we lean into, you know, that sediment, if you will, as we move along.
Okay, great. And the second question is, taking your model legislation, one of the issues with the Architects Board that we run into between the Architects Board and the Engineering Board is the Architects Board practice definition is very broad and loose. And so, you know, keeping that in mind, I think it's very important for this board and with assistance from you, if you're going to go forward with the legislation, to make sure that there is no conflict. This is the chance. This is your chance to do that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't talked to Sydney a little bit about this. I have talked to my colleague at DOL, Bo Pershbacher, and I'm going to, you know, as we get our model legislation wrapped up, I am going to lean into the DOL staff to, as we go about drafting this legislation and crafting it, that it is, you know, complementary to your current statute, you know, and making sure that there, those overlaps are noted and duly distinguished, for lack of a better
way. Let me be clear here. It isn't DOL staff that has that expertise. It is the board. So, I mean, the board, that staff has its own expertise, but this is, these are the definitions that the board should be looking at and determining. I think that's part of where we ran into trouble in the past. And we still have trouble with the definition of architecture. It could definitely be improved, but it's the board that has that expertise. So I just want to make sure, not that you shouldn't be going to the staff, but that this board needs to be part of that process.
Perfect. And we'll work with Sydney to make certain that happens for sure.
Yes, we do bring the board members into those conversations, but to provide a single point of contact, they work with the staff to make sure that we can get it out to the board and that we can also ensure that we're not running into any OPMA issues and that we're collecting those and providing the input in one space so that it's not coming in multiple directions. But yes, we do bring the board and their expertise in on those discussions throughout the legislative session.
I'm going to jump the queue and the questions for just a second to follow up on this one, because I think that I know that, you know, I think it was Matthew mentioned the I-Corps group looking at these very issues. And my understanding from being at NCARB meetings lately is that this has been a struggle and that it would really be great to see a positive outcome out of that. We've been waiting as a board because of the issues that Elizabeth has brought up. We've been waiting patiently for something to come out of that effort that would be, that would help us as a board. And it's been super disappointing not to see real progress come out of that group. So any insight you have on that would certainly be welcome.
I think one of the, I'm interested in looking at some model laws and regulations on the other states and see what that details are. Can I find that on your website?
If I can respond, if that's okay, Chair.
Yes,
the model law is not on our website quite yet. The one we're in the process of finalizing an updated draft from 2010. And so that is, once we get the final stamp of approval from our Assembly of Delegates at our annual meeting on November 8th and 9th, then it will be uploaded to the website and, of course, promptly provided to this board for review. And then to speak to I-Corps, yes, it has been a very deliberate process, a very intimate and intricate process. We have another meeting, actually, of the steering committee immediately following our annual meeting in Chicago from the 10th and 11th. So we hope to have more progress and more information to share, hopefully, after that meeting. But yeah, it's been because there are so many intimacy, so much overlap between all four of the design, five of the design professions, and so much work to be done and so much to look at there. It's been a very long slog, as I'm sure you can imagine and heard from the annual meeting presentation at NCARB. So, rest assured, we want to get that information out to you as soon as we can. And we absolutely will. We hope that and expect that that could be a very useful resource for all of our member boards.
Thank you. Okay, Erica, I think you're next.
Board member Erica, you mentioned, Matthew, specifically in your presentation that part of this, as you described the scope, that it is for non-seismic environments and things, knowing that we are a seismic environment everywhere in our state and many of the interior things that are happening are would require that kind of stuff. Are there other states that are in a seismic category similar to Washington that would be comparable to how they are addressing this?
Perhaps California, if I may respond, I'm so sorry, but perhaps California, but California is actually the only jurisdiction in the country, in North America, that doesn't use our exam. So I can't really speak to that. But yeah, to your question, Erica, there are very specific carve-outs for things like structural designs and anything, you know, that can be considered seismic or structural, obviously, is outside the scope of practice. And for those projects underneath our model legislation, an architect would still be needed to review those plans and stamp and sign construction plans. But I will definitely look into that in terms of Washington has unique considerations as regards to seismic. I'm sure other states as well. That's something I'm happy to look into and get back to you on.
Because even ceilings require seismic.
Sure. Yeah.
It goes even like a partial height wall or a ceiling grid structure or trellises that people are really, it's really common to have installed. The line is very gray and it's very easy to fall into a spot that needs a seismic reinforcing and things. So that's something I think needs to be very clear of how that distinction is drawn of what is allowable.
Of course.
Thanks, Erica. Scott?
Yeah, just it's not really a question for Matthew or anyone else, but more of a statement of interest. I know it seems like you're sharing notes with NCARB and I-Corps, but a big topic within our world of NCARB is alternative pathways to licensure. So while you're doing your model, I see you nodding, Matthew, so maybe you're already on top of this. But yeah, be aware that they're considering pretty substantial potential changes that may or may not be adopted by jurisdictions. But that's one of the biggest. I just came back from a NCARB meeting in Fargo, North Dakota, and that was the entire conversation for two and a half days. Yep.
If I may respond to that, Chair Roberts, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So we actually, I'm well familiar with the discussion being had at the NCARB level right now. We have the benefits of the interior design profession being a newer one is that we have had alternative paths to licensure for quite some time. So for example, we, CIDIQ has an alternative review process wherein interior designers who have been practicing for a certain amount of years underneath the auspices of another design professional without meeting the education requirements can submit their work and their chronicled experience to a panel of reviewers and then be tentatively approved to sit for the examination that way. So there are we have already been having that discussion about alternative pathways. We do have the ARP, as we call it, and you can find more information about that on the CIDQ website, as well as some of the information resources we've talked about.
Great. I have one last question, and this maybe is for Sydney and Elizabeth, but I'm actually not sure who we don't have a lot of multidisciplinary or any multidisciplinary boards. I don't know, in Washington State, at least we don't in the design profession. So I'm just curious who makes a decision about those kinds of things. Is that like at the executive level that they appoint boards? Who decides what the makeup is?
So that is defined by legislation.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, again, we just received those documents this morning, so I really haven't even had a chance to dig in on them myself. But that'll definitely be an ongoing part of the discussion, part of the research that the staff, not just myself, but we have a legislative core team within Business and Professions Division that works with our overall legislative and policy team. So there's a really robust group that will be digging in on this and looking at all of the different impacts on a program level, a procedural level, licensing impacts to investigations and audits. We look at all of those different pieces and how that impact would be. And then obviously with the changes to the board structure, we'll be looking at what the impact would be for us here, what the current proposal is, what the other models are. I've seen multiple different models, obviously with our work through NCARB. We see a lot of the different models and makeups. And so we'll be doing a deeper dive on those and really putting together robustly what that looks like to make sure that we're providing that information to all of you and really getting your input and your expertise from an industry level, as well as just a kind of a day-to-day, how is this going to impact Washingtonians? So.
Great. Thank you.
Is my hand raised? I can't tell. I tried to raise it.
Okay. I can't see it, but yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
For some reason, it doesn't work very often. So I was just going to add that there are other multidisciplinary boards. So, for example, the Engineers Board actually licenses and regulates engineers, land surveyors, and on-site wastewater designers. So that's not uncommon.
But not unusual for our state. Okay. Yeah. I was just curious why it was that we were a single discipline board, but it sounds like there's a lot of work to be done and a lot of things to be thought about. So I just want to thank you all for coming here today to share with us and make sure that we're in the loop here. We definitely appreciate, especially since you're proposing joining our board, appreciate the fact that you are coming here and talking to us, and your patience for sitting through the rest of our meeting, which obviously was long. I will also, to the members of the public who are interested in making a comment, I'm assuming many of you are probably wanting to comment about this particular topic. We do have a few more agenda items, but not that many. So if you can be patient and hang in there, we will have that that moment for you coming up pretty soon. Any other comments from the board on this particular topic before we move on? Okay, great. Thank you again. Let's move
on
to items.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's move on to item 7, reports. And the first one is committee task force reports. Our only committee right now is the Model Law Committee, which is me and Erica. Erica, if you don't mind, I'll just give the update from our standpoint. Great, thank you. We have reached out to AIA Washington Council. I think we were hoping to report on this in the fall, but it did take a while to get some momentum going here. So there is a small group on AIA Washington Council's side who would be interested in reviewing our review of our legislation and model law, and maybe have a discussion about where their thoughts are in terms of what might be worthwhile changing. And we have our notes from the session that we had with the board that we can bring to bear on that conversation. I do not know when that's going to happen, but we will certainly report back to the board after it does. Anything to add, Erica?
No, thank you.
Okay. Dave Christensen, I believe you are unmuted. If you could mute. Thank you. Okay. We will move on to item 2, which is 7.2 staff reports. And I'm going to hand this over to Sydney.
Thank you very much. We are going to have some changes to who is doing these presentations, those changes are happening right the second, so you get me for all three of these reports. So we're going to start with the Centralized Investigations and Audits Unit reports, our complaint status report. As of October 3rd, 2024, we have received 19 total complaints. So we have 8 that are in investigative status, 5 that are under management review, 14 that have been closed, for a grand total of 27. Now, the discrepancy with those two numbers is that some of those 27 would have been received in 2023 and have been processed and closed in 2024. So that's where the difference is there. So are there any questions on that before I move on? And if you have some assigned to you that have gone through management review that you've completed the pieces on, it may just be that it hasn't caught up in the system yet to reflect that it's done.
Yeah, I think I had this question last time that I had a 1 next to my name and I wasn't sure what it was. So I wonder if I know you're in the middle of some transition, but if somebody could maybe just make sure the ones that are under review aren't 2023 things that have like fallen through the cracks.
Yep, absolutely. I'll work with Grace and the team to make sure that we get that cleared up.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions before I move on? All right, then we'll dive into our licensee count. So this is one that the board will be very familiar with our age demographics. We have 1,619 active status over the age of 65, 1,854 between the ages of 55 and 64, 1,766 between the ages of 45 and 54, 1,389 between the ages of 35 and 44, and 425 between the ages of 25 and 34. So our total number of active licensees is 7,053. All right, and this is just a look at our renewals and new issues by month for this year. And our five-year look at our active licensees, you can see that we have had a growing number of licensees over the last 5 years. So you guys are definitely trending in the right direction. One thing I really love to see with this board is a lot of our programs took a slight dip in the COVID years, and yours was one that continued to grow even through COVID. So, board member Han.
Yeah, two slides back was the right there, that one. Is there a publication or a link or anything that we can send to or push out through the AIA on what are your options as you get into the elder categories, of which I'm one of them? You know, what are your options as far as being inactive or inactive, retired, or just letting it expire, or anything that outlines and maybe gets people to act on it so we have a more accurate record on who's doing what? But do we push out anything, Sydney, to tell them these are your options? You know, just don't stop paying your dues. Do something else instead so we have that recorded. Do we have anything like that?
I don't think we actively push out any information. I'd have to double check the website to see what we do have on there, but we can certainly look in on that and see what we have and bring back some options to increase some outreach specifically regarding that.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the licensee count report?
Yes, board member Wu here. What's the difference between inactive and inactive retired?
So that is going to be a very technical system question. I'm going to see if Deb is able to bail me out on an answer. But I believe somebody can place their license in inactive status if they have been working in Washington State, but maybe aren't for a little while, but want to still have the option to go back active. And then the inactive retired is just a slightly different designation where they're in that retired status, but still have the license. It's just a slight variance in how it's recorded in the system.
Is there any fee difference involved with registration between the expired and inactive retired?
That is one I'm going to have to dig in on.
Appreciate it. I'm following almost in that direction now. So
yeah, and this is board member Harm again. So the things that board member Wu brought up are kind of the things that I'm thinking we could be, or should be, in my opinion, proactive in telling people, hey, if you do this, you still have to pay an annual license fee, but if you do this, you don't, and you can still have these opportunities or whatever. Yeah, just so somebody can make a more informed decision. But I think it might also spark people to update our records so we get a more crystal clear account on, you know, of the 1,619 north of 65, really there's only like 50 that are interested in keeping their license in one shape or form, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and each of our programs treats the inactive and inactive retired statuses slightly different, so I don't want to say something and have it be wrong, so let me just double check that information before I say something incorrect, and I'll bring back some information about that at our next meeting.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, then moving on to our master action item review list, we've already talked about the model law committee. Statistics for our law exam review, I think we'll probably need to revisit what that looks like. We had requested some management analyst support, but that's been quite a while. So we need to relook at what that looks like and if that information is even still pertinent to the board. Outreach is ongoing with universities and NCARB, as we've already discussed earlier in this meeting. We'll continue to work with AIA, Washington Council, as we move into legislative session, with today kind of being our kickoff. So we'll be working with Tammy and her team to make sure that we're having those ongoing discussions as we move into legislative session. The list of alternative pathway programs in Washington State, that is still ongoing. We're working with Chair Roberts to get that compiled. And then
So can I mention that? I do have a list. I didn't realize I was supposed to provide it to board staff. So I can maybe send that to you, Sydney. I do think that Lake Washington is the most robust program for us to be talking about, but I can certainly provide the list of the research that I've done to you. And then I'm not sure what we do with it, but maybe we can just talk about that at that time.
Yeah. So what we do with that is we kind of keep a running list of contacts and different outreach places. And that way, as board members change, we have that kind of consistent list moving
forward.
The
other thing that's changed is that some of the programs that had better, more robust programs that we visited in the past no longer seem to have the same, you know, I think instructors come and go, and programs come and go. So the degree programs that we used to go, we had contacts with and went to visit, some of them no longer exist. So anyway, in the same way the board members come and go, instructors come and go.
Absolutely. So yeah, that just kind of, we just kind of create a central repository for that information.
Okay. I'll send that to you.
Okay. And then again, as we've already discussed, that Chair Roberts and myself have already been working with AIA on outreach opportunities, and that will be an ongoing discussion. So that'll actually probably drop off the action item list, as that's already ongoing.
Yep.
Are there any questions on that? All right. Well, that was it for the reports. Thank you.
Okay. The moment you've all been waiting for. We're looking forward to hearing from the public right now. This is unusual for us, so we're glad to have some people here. The public may address the board on matters within the board's jurisdiction, either verbally during the meeting or by submitting written comments in advance. Verbal comments are limited to 1 3-minute comment. Written comments are limited to no more than 500 words and must be emailed to the board staff no less than 2 business days prior to the meeting. In response to all public comments, the board is limited to requesting that the matter be added to a future agenda for discussion or directing staff to study the matter further. Inflammatory comments and language will not be permitted. Sydney, have we received any comments in writing?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go then. Do we have any members of the public who would like to make a comment? Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, my name's Dave Christensen. I don't know, my image isn't coming up here. Just briefly wanted to make the board aware. I've been president off and on in the Northwest Washington chapter of the AIA for many years, and now it's a section in Seattle. And one comment I know from many, many firms that I know is the amount of time that we all know that jurisdictions take to do permit reviews. It's really gotten really terrible in the last several years. And there are several jurisdictions around the United States that allow self-certification by architects just self-certifying projects if they're not any critical areas or any unusual planning issues. And this is a big affordability issue for cost, time on a lot of projects. So I've had Alex Rammel and I have been working on this, and he's probably going to present something in the next legislative process next year. But I just want to make you aware that I am kind of pushing this. I've been working a little bit with WABO and the AIA. There's a lot of jurisdictions. I know New Jersey State has just passed a self-certification process, and there's a lot of details involved in how that happens. And we all have the liability no matter what. Jurisdictions don't. So I just wanted to know, one is whether this has ever come up before in the state. I could provide a lot more detail next time we meet in the future here, but a lot of work has gone into this so far, but it's something for some reason I'm pushing because it's, you know, it's everyone doesn't have to do it, but if you want to do it, you can. I know I have done it in the past on some native reservations where there was no jurisdiction to review my plans. And ironically, they were just one of the best set of plans I've ever done because nobody's double checking it. And I had time and I wasn't scrambling to vest the project because it takes so dang long to get permit views happened. So anyway, that's something I'm in process. I'm curious to know if this has ever come up before and there's more to come from me. Thanks.
Thank you. I believe we're limited in what we can how we can respond to that. But we appreciate your comment. We'll be looking for future information on that.
Okay. Has this come up before at all?
All of us, we're all short timers here. So, we haven't been here forever. It has not, in my term, it has not come up.
Okay. You can certainly add this to the agenda for next time to discuss if the board wants to, or if staff wants to research that, or if this is a topic on the agenda, you can have a deeper discussion. But right now, because it's public comment and it's not on the agenda, we have to wait for any further discussion until the next meeting.
So if the board is interested in this topic, I'll add it to the next agenda.
Would members of the board be interested in discussing this?
Is it board member Lloyd? I'm interested to hear their comments.
Yeah, I as the board member Harm, I as well is pretty interested and agree somewhat with what Dave presented. Yep.
So if we can maybe have staff do a little bit of research on this and then we can bring it to the board for the next meeting.
Yep.
Thank you, Sydney. All right. Next comment from Richard has his hand up.
All right. Richard Balkins from Astoria, Oregon, and managing and owner of Astoria Building Design. In response to the discussion regarding interior design regulations, now, as a building designer, we do a lot of times interior design would be incidental to what we do sometimes with projects, probably very much as it may be with architects. And as such, my concern is, how would the interior designer licensing registration requirements impact other stakeholders like building designers, design build contractors that might do a project that involves interior design aspects? And so I would think it would be great that we would have the conversations with the various parties involved and with the associated professional associations like the American Institute of Building Design in contact with the IDQ and IIDA and all those other parties, so that we could try to make sure that if there are regulations that are made in this thing, to not have a negative impact where competent building designers being essentially legislated out of being able to provide an interior design-oriented service to a client. So,
if anyone has anything to say on this, this was on the agenda. So if anyone wants to respond, that's okay.
Any comments from the board on this? Are you done, Richard? It looks like you are. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. There are a lot of implications that we're kind of unaware of how this would impact other folks. I think it's fair to say that this isn't a decision that the board is going to make. So while we appreciate your input for consideration, we don't get to decide whether interior design gets regulated or how it gets regulated. So that would be I appreciate your comment. You may find more traction with an audience that has some ability to address that more directly. I see we have a comment, but I don't think we're entering into a group discussion here at this point. I'm looking to Sydney, and it sounds like this might be something where there's two other parties in this at this meeting who maybe need to engage more directly and outside of the venue of this particular meeting.
Yeah, so I think what we can do is make sure that we incorporate those questions into kind of a compilation of things that we look at as this proposal moves forward, and we'll make sure to get that information to Mr. Transu as well, so that if there's any outreach that they can incorporate with what they're doing on the legislative side of this, that they're getting all of that information as well.
Great. Thank you, Sydney. Yeah, we're happy to kind of make the connections here, but this might not be the forum for that particular discussion. Do we have any other public comments? I'm not seeing any hands up, but I might not be seeing everybody on. So I'd ask if anybody does have a comment to go ahead and say something now. Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for hanging in there throughout this meeting to make your comments. We appreciate that. All right. Moving on to item number 9, conclusion. So announcements. Do any board members or staff have any announcements or additional reports that they'd like to make at this time?
Yeah, this is a board.
Oh. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, board member Harm, having just come back from the MBE, MBC, I'm sorry, I'm using acronyms, member board executive, member board chair meeting hosted by NCARB in Fargo, North Dakota. I'm not going to do a full report out, but one that did get a lot of attention, it was Representative Greg Ernie from the state of Nevada informed the board that they have a true community college that is now developing or has developed a five-year professional degree, undergraduate professional degree program, and it's getting a lot of attention in the groups pursuant to supporting community colleges and such like ICOR or anything else. So it was very interesting on alternative pathways that this was one that's really in an advanced stage of development. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
So is it a bachelor's degree then? So it's not.
Yeah, I think
it's
that's
a five-year BArc degree. It's yes, just being, yeah. It's just being delivered by a. I mean, it's not really a community college at that point. It's a.
Yeah,
that's by
some,
a, yeah. Okay, I understand.
Yeah,
interesting. Did anything else come out of that, Scott? I'm just curious. Like, as you know, we're really fortunate. We have a regional. Region chair, is that what it is?
Regional director.
We have a regional director. Thank you. I always get that wrong. We have a regional director represented at the national board here on our board, which is a fortunate position to be in. So are there any other NCARB updates you think that the board would benefit from hearing, Scott?
Yeah, I was looking. Let me make sure I'm on. Yeah, I was looking over my notes. You know, the biggest thing, like I think I stated earlier, the big calorie burn in that full day and a half of nonstop meetings was the alternative pathways, you know, and to what extent is NCARB looking at it right now? You know, the official statement is we're just considering everything, including but not limited to, you know, a test-free licensing process where you just do it through experience and then someone does somehow a portfolio review is done. But that was the largest portion of because of the executives there and how would it affect model law and rules. And so the large portion of that whole event was topping on that discussion. There were only a few jurisdictions that were vocalizing their displeasure with the idea and thinking that there would be no way to work around within their state, but that's something that's being worked at the NCARB staff level. But other than that, it seemed to be a very supportive program and people getting more and more interested with it. There is a continued slow but steady growth on the ICOR IPAL, Integrated Path to Licensure. There, I think they said every year there's three programs that get approved to do it. So it's just a steady increase and incline on, also under the vein of alternative pathways, but not, you know, working on your licensure and your examination while you're still attending university classes is the big picture idea of integrated pathways to licensure through architectural programs. And it's good. So it's good to see that that's getting garnered support, not only from universities and colleges, but also from jurisdictions that they're seeing this as a valuable alternative pathway, essentially in affordability and getting people to practice as early as possible.
Interesting that we don't have one in Washington, an IPAL program.
Why did I think Wazoo was?
No.
Nope. Okay. Well, I sit corrected. Yeah. I don't think good because I don't think I stated in the meeting that we had one. Okay. This is me looking surprised because I really
unless
did.
They did it like in the last, you know.
No, I'm sure they year. Did. I'm sure I'm just yeah. not keeping.
I mean,
track
they've got a 4+1 and a bit yeah. kind of thing, but. Right. I think Sydney has some updates.
Yeah, I just wanted to provide a quick update to the board on our appointments. We did conduct informational discussions with several applicants over the summer, provided those notes back to the governor's office. Unfortunately, with the upcoming election, a number of members of the governor's office staff have already left to pursue other opportunities, knowing that so many changes will be happening in the governor's office in the next few months. So that has very much slowed down our appointment process. The original indication that we had gotten was that they were still working on it and were hoping to make the appointment fairly quickly. But a lot of that communication has also ceased as well. So I think at this point, it's fair to anticipate that we will not be having any new appointments prior to the election, and we'll be waiting for the new governor's office staff to get up and running. We'll continue trying to get those as best we can, but with only 2 weeks left until election day, I just don't know that it's going to be all that likely. So I'm anticipating hopefully sometime during the first quarter of 2025, but I think we are still a little ways out from the appointment. So I wanted to let you know that all of that has been done. We did have a couple of applicants from Eastern Washington that we were very excited to talk to. So all of those notes and everything are with the governor. We're just kind of waiting and hoping, and you guys are not the only board that's being impacted by this. I think you guys are just the ones happening to feel it most directly because we are down to our minimum for a quorum. So we'll keep pestering them and hoping for the best, but I think we're waiting for a little bit.
Would be a great kind of lame duck activity, wouldn't it? Okay, thank you for the update, Sydney. Appreciate it. We'll stay patient. Any other announcements from anybody on the board? Oh, Erica.
Board Member Erica, I just have a quick question. The Regional NCARB Summit is due in on my calendar. I had it placed on the February 27th through March 1st, which is fairly close to the next meeting. When do we need to start arranging things for that? Attendance and things?
We need to start arranging that here soon. So we'll be reaching out to the board and just checking availability and see who we're able to send. Portion of that is going to tie into board member Harm and Chair Roberts' connections with the programs that they're already involved in with NCARB and whether they'll be attending on behalf of those. And so that kind of changes our numbers and our dynamics. So we'll be reaching out to everybody and getting that going over the next month.
Perfect. Just want to make sure January 30th will be, I think, too close.
It'll be very tight.
I guess probably also worth mentioning, sorry, that we are hosting a WestCARB meeting here in Seattle in a couple of weeks, actually. We're going to host the meeting actually in our office, but I would love to say, because the only reason I'm on WestCARB is so that I can get funded to go to the meeting. But apparently we're having some financial issues, so I'm not sure that I'll be funded to go to the meetings. So we'll see. We'll figure that out as we go along.
Yeah, and I of course, until I rotate off, will be funded by NCARB as being part of the board of directors. So.
Okay. We'll move on to item 9.2, requests for future agenda items. So are there any additional future agenda items we haven't yet discussed that board members would like to request for the next meeting? I guess I would like to maybe formally request that if there is any activity that has been or any progress that's been made in kind of pulling together what the interior design legislation might be looking like, if maybe that can be put on the agenda, and if Sydney, the board can receive any kind of progress or information that might be beneficial to us in the meantime.
Yes, we will absolutely have that as an agenda item for the January meeting. And then we'll always be keeping the board informed kind of in between meetings, providing status updates. And then just for the board's awareness, once we're in legislative session and legislation drops, we do keep very close tabs on where it's at in the process and any changes that are made and anything that we need to send to the board and receive back, receive input back. That'll be happening. We try to do as much of it as we can ahead of time, because generally, once we're in legislative session, our legislators are wanting that input provided within about 48 hours, and that puts everybody under a very tight time deadline to get those responses back. So we'll do as much as we can ahead of time, but just so that the board is aware, anytime you see those during session, I apologize now for the tight time deadline that we're going to give for responses, but that's just the nature of session. So.
Thanks. And then any other future agenda items? Okay, item 9.3, review of action items and items for next meeting. Sydney, are you, is that your job today too?
That is.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm going to do my best to capture all of them, but my notes were kind of spotty as we were going through the presentation. So I will phone a friend with one of our program specialists, Sandra, who handles our minutes behind the scenes as well. So I'll be returning the demographic trends in January. Again, I apologize that that wasn't available for today. And the legislative update we just discussed, but that'll also be an agenda item for the next meeting. The model law committee report, Chair Roberts was going to share additional information at the next meeting on their ongoing discussions. We have some information to bring back regarding our inactive and inactive retired statuses and how all of that works. So we'll bring back that additional information, as well as working with our centralized investigations and audits unit to make sure we're clearing up any management review statuses that are lagging behind. And I think I captured all of them. Sandra, did I miss anything?
I think so. I did pop into the Teams chat that you and I have just in case, but I think you covered everything that I had.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, I think that is everything we had for today. So thank you all for your time and for your attention. The time is now 11:43, and this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Thank you to the public. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.